Good morning. Happy Sunday morning. Beautiful, beautiful day in Nashville, Tennessee. I don't know what the temperature is supposed to be, but it looks pleasant outside at the moment. And say hello, Linda.
Hello.
All right. And so we are here this morning to talk about our egos and our selfishness and our narcissistic side, I guess is the right word, since narcissism seems to be a common theme nowadays, and we won't go there. So really I want to talk about, or we want to talk about living a life of selflessness versus a life of selfishness. And so, you know, I think the thing is, you know, we look at our Savior, Jesus, is an example, and you know, and what he sacrificed, you know, how he left heaven to come to live on this earth to live a life for us and to show us. And the Bible says that he was willing to take on the form of a servant. And how, I guess what I want to talk about is how, not how difficult it is, because I don't want to make it sound difficult, but how opposite it is of our human natural tendencies. Does that make
sense? I feel like want to go, no, I got it. I feel like maybe more a balance, because I think people go to one extreme. They're either, you know, Jesus really had a balance. He took moments to be to himself to learn how to balance his selflessness with his selfishness. Sometimes I think people go one extreme or the other.
So here, I think, and this is kind of what I think we may have a show coming up on this. And we can certainly get into that during this topic as well. But I think there's that part of us that needs to take care of ourselves. That, to me, is not selfishness. That's practical.
No, I'm not saying that that's selfish. I'm just saying people need a balance between self, because you can get selfless, and then you can almost get to the point where you're a martyr.
Absolutely.
You're so selfless.
And we definitely want to go, and that is an aspect of that, of this topic that we need to to cover,
right?
So people understand being. Well, let's first go to, at least for us,
okay,
or for me. Let me own this, and then you you bring your perspective.
Okay.
Until I reach the point. Until I reach the point of saying, Lord, I yield to you. You are my reason for getting up in the morning and doing and being. And you know, and here's my life, Lord. I want you to use it. I want to cooperate with you. And I will submit my goals, my desires, all my stuff. I want to be under your leadership. I hope am I saying?
Yeah.
Okay. But that doesn't mean we don't stop being individuals, and it doesn't mean that we don't take care of ourselves, because you have to. You know, it's the old thing of, you know, and I know everybody's heard this. I know I have. If you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody.
And I agree with, I think that selflessness is thinking of others and doing for others, but not to the point of you lose yourself. Jesus never lost who he was and what he came to do. So that point of getting to the point of martyrdom is when you are so enmeshed in this recognition gained from your selfless act that it becomes egotistic. And that's the boundary that you have to kind of watch for. So a selfless act is you help people, you do what you can do, you do all of those things, but it's okay also to take care of yourself and not be attached to the outcome or the recognition. That is the place. People, you want to do something good, but you really want to be recognized for what
you're
doing.
That's one of the pitfalls. So I'm glad you kind of brought, you brought up two parts of this that I wanted to bring up. I want to make sure we, because they're the dangers of how our minds work, right?
Yeah.
So our minds say, oh, and our culture, you know, for example, I was raised Southern Baptist, and the culture is you give everything to anybody all the time. Well, guys, that's not realistic, you know. Yes, do I always care about other people? Yeah, I never stop doing that. But do I give everything to everybody all the time personally? No, because I have to take care of myself so I can continue to give and to care. And that taking care of self can be time. It can be materials. It can be, you know, whatever you need to stay in the kind of shape you need to stay in to be ready to minister, to care about people.
So
you know,
pastors
have to take a Monday off.
Yes. And I think that there is such a thing as compassion fatigue.
Uh-huh.
That comes from caregivers, nurses, doctors can have compassion fatigue.
Sure.
Where you're giving. And you have to take the time to have self-care in that. And we're just kind of working on what's the balance. So we talked about selflessness. Then what is selfishness? I love Joyce Myers when she says, it's that point when you're, it's all about me. You know, when you're, things like you're in a conversation with people, it's a group conversation. You just totally take over the conversation. You don't let other people talk, or you're so, you don't even let a person finish their sentence because you got to get in. You know, everything is about you. If you with a group, it's all about what can I do? It's about you. And it's not about, okay, we're in a group. Who wants to do what? And, you know, you kind of compromise. And these are just instances. Or the bottom line is when you're at that selfish end, there is no compromise. It's all about you.
So, yeah. So you're in this mode, and I can speak to this because I'm struggling with it, because the Lord keeps telling me to shut up, you know, and I don't know a better way to put it. And I find myself thinking about what I want to say instead of listening. I find myself just waiting for somebody in a group to catch a breath so I can jump in because, obviously I have the most important thing to say. And the Lord is saying to me, hey,
me too. Sometimes.
Shut up. Listen. And so I'm working on that. So.
And I was going to say that I have found when I take, because I'm that way too. We all are. And it's not to keep people up. It's just to make us aware of these things that can be quite selfish when you look at them. And if you take the time to listen to other people, they say some pretty profound things that, if you take the time to listen to what they're saying, really listen, not to listen to get in, but to really listen to what a person is saying, you're really going to have a better communication experience.
For everybody.
Yes.
They feel validated, justified,
right,
encouraged, all kinds of things by us just being quiet and truly listening. And people know.
Mm-hmm.
They know. I mean, they can tell if you're really listening or you're just, you know, jockeying for position, you know, is the best way I know how to put it. I do it. And so I can say this because I find myself doing it. And I'm really working harder at when I'm in conversations, when I'm in a group, et cetera, to make sure I'm allowing others to express themselves, to say what they need to say. So we kind of talk about, you know, somehow we kind of jump, to me, we kind of jump to here are the things we need to watch out for. But let's talk about, maybe I should just share for me is, you know, at the age of 25, I'd have to do the math. I know the year is October 1980. When I said, Lord, here it is. You know, I yield my life to you. And I've been working on that yielding it ever since. And it's still a struggle. I want to pick it back up. I want things to go the way I want them to go, when I want them to happen, and how I want them to happen. And then I have to go, you know, Lord, this is your life. And, you know, it's my life, but it's you and me. Mm-hmm. You know, I never, the great thing about the Lord is he's never asked me to quit being me.
And I think that's the model of all of it, or the motto, or whatever, the model of all of this, is that you can be selfless with and still be you.
Yes.
You know, and to keep it, you can give to others and do all you can for people, but you still can be who God created you to be.
Absolutely. The Lord's not trying to turn out cookie-cutter Christians. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not pointing at anybody. But he never asked us to speak exactly the same, and it's all to act exactly the same, and dress exactly the same. We never lose our individuality in Christ. You know, he never asked us to. He doesn't want us to. He loves each of us individually. And so that's the beauty. And I'm still working on that. I'm still learning that. Because I did try to become the cookie-cutter Christian because that was the example I had in front of me, and that was not all bad. You know, there's lots of great examples to follow. But find out who you are in Christ.
And for me, I think selflessness, I have to work on that word because when I hear it, I feel like you can almost get to that point of losing yourself. And then people begin to resent. If you're not doing it for the right reason, you almost can resent being selfless. And so I think that it's really, I guess maybe I have the problem with that word in that I
well, use any word you want. I can pick those two.
For me, this is just me, and it might be my own issue.
Yeah, I can. You definitely got a thing going on here.
I just feel like it's more service is a better word. Like we can give out of our hearts out of service.
Okay.
And it may be me. I got a problem with the word, and I'll admit that, because I feel like sometimes it can almost lead to that end.
We can't seem to get off this subject, so let's stay right here.
Okay.
So for the audience, if you don't mind, I'm going to take a minute to kind of set the stage here.
Yeah.
Linda, and I'm talking about Linda, and we can come to me maybe later, but Linda is such a giving person, and she has had so many – she's laughing at me, but trust me, it's true. But she's had so many people in her life who were manipulators, who would – do anything they had to do to get what they wanted, and used her in many, many cases. And it's still, and we'll always have some of those people around. I have some, you know. So that I think that Linda really wants or needs to talk this morning about how to set boundaries in being selfless. Is that kind of what you,
well? I guess in a way, maybe because I'm having a problem with that word, selflessness. Because I feel like, that might be my issue. You know, everybody has their own issues. They may have their own buttons that push, and I feel like sometimes when I had to learn that giving and being a service is different than being manipulated.
I just think I got maybe something that will help.
Okay.
who are you serving?
There you go.
And so the question comes in, who are you serving? As a Christian, now, again, you know, not everybody who's listening to this program may be a Christian. So I'm just giving that perspective. But as a Christian, my service is to Jesus. My service is to God. That helps me set the boundary.
That is good.
You know, so I go, Lord, what do you, you know, what do you think? What do you, what, in the, is, you know, should I do this or am I enabling, you know, or am I helping? You know, and there's a balance there, and that's something you have to look at, because this selflessness thing in the world today can be taken advantage of, for lack of a better word. So, you know, maybe it helps, or it does for me, to go to the Lord and go, Lord, what's right here? You know, I'm willing to give this, but should I?
Yeah.
Am I helping? Or am I enabling? Am I doing it so they'll pat me on the back? Or am I doing it because I want to give? And so there's an attitude aspect. There's a lot to this. It's not as simple as it sounds.
It's not. And as we are unpacking this, I feel like the Lord is probably working on both our hearts, because I feel like a selfless act is a good act in itself. You know, you're giving of yourself. You're giving the best that you can give. And I also feel like as Christians, we always have to evaluate, not always, but we should evaluate, am I giving because I love, and this is a service of God, which is the ultimate price of giving. Am I giving out of recognition? Am I giving with a hope that there would be a feedback? And if I get no recognition for this,
would I
still do it?
Ooh, that's a good way to ask.
Yes.
That's a good thing. That's a good way to examine yourself. If nobody was watching and nobody ever knows, would I do this?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I'll try to remember that. But there are, I'll give you, here's a good example of how it works well, and I'm not bragging, I'm just giving the example. I used to take a person to church who, let's just say, was pretty demanding. And this person had a reputation for being pretty demanding, but she needed help. And to make the long story short, I had a friend come up to me and go, Dad, how do you put up with this, you know? Because this was the kind of thing, no matter what she did, it wasn't quite good enough. No matter where you took her for breakfast, there was something wrong.
Be careful, Dale.
Yeah, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I looked at them and I said, easy. And they go, well, please tell me how. I don't do it for her. I do, but I don't. It doesn't matter if she's pleased. It matters if the Lord's pleased.
And
the Lord's pleased. And there, so I can put up with everything else because I know that's okay.
And I'm just going to go with the Bible verse instead of any personal things that I would want to give, because it might really talk about some people I don't want to talk about. So I'll just go to a Bible verse of the woman who gave to Mike, you know, but she gave all she had versus everybody in the line. And people gave, I'm sure, but she gave, you know, she gave all she had. And I think that was a selfless act. And I feel like that was you can look at that act and say, well, dang, she had nothing left. Was that really selfless? But I feel like it was, because I feel like a part of her, and who am I to know? I don't know those days back then, but it would be, I feel like she gave with the expectation that even though I gave all of this, more will come. So I guess a part of being selfless is, even if you give your all, and this would be something I would have to work on, would be that more will come your way. Like, you know, if you gave your all, that God can replenish.
See, this is it's a tougher subject than you think.
It is. It has many layers to it that God will supply me when I need it. And then it's that little area, that gray area is, you know, if I give my all, what am I giving it for? You know, am I giving it? And I kind of like we're in this gray area where you really have to think about what are you giving when you do things selflessly.
So what, okay, because I'm trying to help people. You know, I'm thinking of our listeners going, confused.
Well, now, you know what? What is it? Is it okay to, we don't have to ask the answers for people, but to allow them to think about it?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
But I also want to give them something.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's start with what's the attitude that we should have? I mean, how do I develop an attitude that helps me be less about me and more about others? How about that? So how do I develop that? What's the attitude? What's the mindset? What will you say?
And then you give your opinion.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, right. I just feel like, do you have a genuine heart? How's your heart? Because if you're giving from a genuine, loving heart, then I feel like that's the
so
best.
So what's that genuine heart look like?
Well, I feel like that's a heart that you give because you want to help somebody, not necessarily to have somebody recognize you because you gave. You give because you really want to help. You know, you might do something for somebody and not even be recognized, and you're okay with that because you gave from a genuine heart.
How do I get that heart? Because my natural tendency, and I'm not saying we don't ever, you know, on our own just decide to help people. We do.
Yeah.
But, you know, naturally I'm thinking, well, you know, I want that $100 to give it away. Or, you know, I want my Saturday afternoon to do what I want to do. How do I develop or get to that place where I'm saying, okay, I'm ready, let's go?
I feel like that you need some hard work from God. I mean, not just you, but I'm saying we.
That's
we
exactly
need hard
where I
work
wanted to go.
From God. And so you have to start with, you know, I feel like even with giving and all of that, there has to be a measure of wisdom. So you have to go to Lord, you know, fix my heart, mend my heart.
Amen.
You know, make my heart pliable to situations. Open my eyes so that I have loving, giving Christ eyes. Open my mind so that I could hear when you say give, I give. Mm-hmm. Not from my selfishness, not from my ego, but from the heart of Christ, I give.
Beautiful. And I apologize. You felt like you got set up, but that's where I wanted to give somebody the foundation that you got to have before anything else, as far as I'm concerned, at least for me. And so to develop this heart, to develop this sensitivity, what I do is I say, Lord, it's your day. Lord, you know, walk with me, show me, give me kingdom eyes is one of my prayers, and develop in me this heart of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's what happens to many people, myself included, and maybe we'll have a discussion on this one day, compassion versus compassion. Passion is pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion is hard, because compassion is the action of your passion, for lack of a better word. So that's what I'm asking is, Lord, you know, give me, help me, show me, make me aware. And then, you know, because I also used to do this too. And again, I'm just trying to help folks who are walking in this today, mm-hmm. or tomorrow,
me.
Or whatever.
I'm one of those folks.
Well, all of us. And that is, the other thing I used to do was I would wait. And, you know, okay, Lord, tell me. Show me. You know? And the beggar would pass by. And I go, okay, I'm waiting. Show me. You know? And and the single mom who needs her grass cut said, "Oh, I wish somebody cut my grass." And I go, "Okay, Lord, I'm waiting." It was right there.
Yeah.
You know, opportunities are there, guys. And you can't make, I personally do not believe you can make a mistake by being compassionate. You can be taken advantage of, but here's the good news about servanthood in the kingdom of God. Even when you're taken advantage of, you still get credit because you did it for the right reasons and for the right, you know, and you still can be, your heart can grow.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I do feel like that is very, very true. I feel like, you know, not that you have to go around in my, you know, I just feel like when you feel fatigued, when you feel, when you're starting to feel put upon, you know, like if you said you're going to do something and it comes time to do it, and if you feel put upon, then I feel like you have to check yourself about why you're really doing it. Or those are some of the signs. But I do feel like if you have a pliable heart, sometimes you don't feel like doing it, but you do it anyway. And I feel like God rewards us for that, because those are human emotions that we all have to do with, to deal with. And I feel like this subject is really kind of pulling up some things in me about, you know, one of the prayers that I'm having now is to, Lord, give me compassion, because as I get older and going through life experiences sometimes, and I feel like other people probably have that, you can become a little cynical. And so you have to check your heart about where you are. Lord, do I still have the compassion? Give me compassion. So I'm having that prayer. And I'm being real open here, because I feel like, hey, it is what it is. We all human, and this is where it is. Then I wanted to talk about or go to, we talked about being selfless, and I feel like that is where God calls us to be in the use of our service and what we do for others. But what about the ego? Because we had both issues that we were talking about. And what are the signs that your ego has overtaking things?
Well, I mean, and I'm not sure I'm headed in the right direction, so happy.
Yeah, I was just trying to keep us on track as to, because we talked about selflessness. That's one end of the spectrum.
So what's the ego part of it?
Or the, selfish part of that.
Ego to me equals selfish.
Okay.
To me, they're one and the same.
What would now be selfish to you?
That would mean, no, I'm not giving up my Saturday afternoon. No, I'm not going to help you because you got the, you got something I wanted. No, I'm not going to serve you because I'm mad at you. what's in it for me? You know, why should I do this? Why should I do that? To me, that's all the ego going, mine, me, or here's the other thing, and you'll see this, and eventually it will show its head, and that is you're doing it for recognition. That's when you end up, eventually you either get the recognition you wanted, and that feels good enough to keep you going, which is whatever, or you never get the recognition you wanted. And guess what you become? The martyr, the, oh, woe is me, you know, it's not fair. And, well, if that's what you're feeling, look again, because you're probably in the wrong service area.
That's a good point.
I mean, that's my feeling. You know, for example, you know, if I choose, for whatever reason, let's just say this, I choose that I'm going to go tutor second graders on Tuesday evening at the local community center. And I think that's what I'm supposed to do. And so I go, okay, that's what, you know, I got to do something. I, you know, I'm supposed to serve people. And you get there and it's frustrating and it ain't your thing. Then it's time to find out what is your thing. Does that help? So a lot of times part of being a servant is finding out what your servant calling is, so to speak.
And then I think that I feel like that's really good. I think that's true. I also feel like that sometimes you still may have to complete a task.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, if you could put somebody in a bind because you said you were going to do something for 8 weeks or 10 weeks.
Yeah, you've committed. You need to
complete the task. Because sometimes I think when you complete the task, you do find out maybe in the end that this definitely is not my thing.
I pick on the Sunday school class because that's a perfect example for me is that I love to teach, and I have to watch my ego on that, but I love to teach. And so I remember many, many years ago, I was much younger. That was part of the problem. I was asked, or I volunteered, I can't remember, to teach a 7th, 8th grade Sunday school class. It didn't take me very long to find out that is not my calling. Okay. That's okay. I didn't do anything wrong.
No.
I just found out where I'm not a good servant. But did I finish and stick with it until we found another source? Yes, because I committed. And so, you know, I couldn't leave those kids without somebody there on Sunday morning until we found somebody else. But I found out real quick. That is not my calling.
And sometimes I think service is about trying different things till you feel like this is what God has called me to. And sometimes you grow with that, you know, searching. You know, I feel like a lot of times God is calling us to stretch us out of comfort zones when you're searching for where it is you want to serve. So a place of encouragement would be don't give up with the search.
Uh-huh.
If you're in the midst of finding where it is God wants to place you, accept where you are at that moment or this moment where God has you. And know that sometimes God is preparing you. So sometimes you might, okay, this is not me. I did my little Sunday
school.
I tried. This is not me. Doesn't mean he's not calling me to teach, but maybe this segment of that population is not the segment for me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I found it very quickly. 12 and 13-year-olds is not the segment for me because I want to, you know, slap them upside the head and say, sit down, behave yourself. Well, no. Now, young adults. It is where I love to be because they're really coming into their own. They're thinking, they're examining, they're trying to decide their vocational future. You know, man, I love that environment. But that's me.
Yeah.
Because you got the next person who makes the perfect kindergarten kind of person, you know? I mean, he or she. Just wants to be surrounded by little guys and loves them and just has talent out, you know, and is boom, it works. You found your place.
Right.
So one of the things now that we're here, one of the things that I hope comes out of this is experiment.
Yeah.
You know, don't judge. Because we've been here before, remember, don't judge everything on the results. Don't think you failed because this isn't your area.
Well, and
find your area.
It could be your area. Could you not have to, like, even when you're called to, like, nursing or whatever, if I would have gave up because
you had to stick with that, didn't you?
I probably would have said, this is not my calling, da-da-da-da-da, but sometimes God is developing in those areas in you, and you're developing in that, and you have to, you know, go through.
How do you know, though, difference?
I feel like the whole thing about all of this, even from the point of being the ego versus healthy selflessness or self-esteem is kind of where we're going with that, is that the secret to all of it, to me, is to be in contact with God through your communication, through prayer and all of it. God will guide you. You know, there will be conversations that you will have. I want you to hold on to this. I want you to keep going.
Right.
You know, think about people who are artists and musicians. I'm sure there's times when they wanted to give it up also, but something inside of them saying, keep going,
keep going. Yeah, that's a good example because we live in the artist city of America,
yes,
of the world,
imagine
Nashville, Tennessee. I mean, you can't throw a stone without hitting a musician or something. And it's a wonderfully cultural place here. And there's all kinds of artists. You know, everybody thinks about music, but man, there's a lot of different culture here in
mm-hmm.
Nashville. And some of these people work 10, 15, 20 years to get their, quote, break.
Right.
Now, I don't know if you call that a break. I call that working and working and working until something good happens. But they know that that's their calling.
Well, they can't give it up.
Yeah,
even when they try, they can't walk away. And I think that's when you know, like, this service-oriented thing that God has called me to, it just seems like no matter what, I can't give that up.
Wow. So, yeah, so if you've got one of those, and I think you kind of know when you have one
like,
of those.
Like, you know, some of those, you know, you talk to seventh graders and that wasn't your calling and you finish the assignment and you're just like, that just isn't me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that you, and I feel like that's healthy ego to say, this isn't me. I don't feel this is me. But it's also a healthy place to be when you can say, I'm improving with this. I'm learning with this. You know, most people at this point would give up, but I just can't give up because I see the growth in me.
And if you feel that, stick with it.
Yeah, stick with it.
You know, so we're trying to help people. So let's take a baby step.
Okay.
So let's just say, you know, you want to develop this selflessness attitude. You know, yes, you need boundaries. Yes, you need wisdom, et cetera, et cetera. But you want. So for me, you know, start off kind of small. I say that, but it's actually the way I do every day. I try to do every day. I start off with, Lord, this is your day. I am your servant. Now, it's Monday. I have a job and a responsibility, so I'm going to do everything I did to get over. I'm going to go to work. But when I walk in that door at work, am I looking to serve the Lord and others? You know, when I walk through the office, am I really paying attention or am I all about me? Am I looking to see how Judy looks today? I mean, does she? Oh, she looks down. Am I walking over to her and say, hey, how are you? Can I get you a cup of coffee? You know, or if I'm in a meeting, am I listening? Am I really listening? You know, I'm subjugating my ego to the Lord, and I'm paying attention. To me, those are baby steps.
Those are huge steps.
Oh,
well. If you practice every day.
But you keep practicing.
That. And I do feel like our walk in the Lord is something that he develops, but it begins with practice. So sometimes I say my practice of being quiet, of listening to him, of learning to listen to him. And for most people, those would be baby steps, but that is how I learned to be of service, to be used by him, is first just learning to hear his voice. Because sometimes it may be small things. Maybe he just wanted you to smile at somebody that was having a hard day. That, you know, had no human interaction maybe the night before. And he said, smile at that person. You may not know why in the world you have to smile, but smile at that person. Those little nudgings, I call them, from the Holy Spirit may seem small and insignificant, But in the kingdom, maybe he used you for a moment to get an outcome from somebody else. So I feel like even with the act of service or selflessness, however we want to define that, is the beginning of that is to be able to be, to hear God.
Yeah, so we're still back to the same thing, is at least because we are who we are as human beings, we need help. We need an attitude adjustment every day and regularly, and that comes from prayer, meditation, time in the Word, if you're a Christian, or, you know, and again, we've always wanted this program to be for anybody.
Time in the Word, whatever that is.
We always bring our Christian perspective, but for those who, you know, are not necessarily, you know, who are not Christians, it's meditate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spend time with your spiritual source, and you know, so you know, I said that was a baby step, but the truth is, it's just the criteria, it's the bedrock, and then everything else will come out of that. That's what I believe.
I agree. I do feel like if you have that connection. Your power source is what I say. If you have your connection to your power source, which is God, to me, it'll even keep your ego in check. Because God will, the Holy Spirit will come to you and say, hey, why'd you do that? You know that wasn't right. Or you did that because you really just wanted to pat on back. And, you know, sometimes we have to be, we're human.
Sure.
And it's okay because sometimes we all want to be recognized or whatever. And nothing is wrong with being recognized. I'm not saying that. It's when it gets out of balance. That's the whole thing.
That's the motive.
Right. And I feel like God is saying life is about balance. And as long as you keep that balance and you don't go too far over here or too far over there, then you're in the will of God. Because in the will of God is the center of Christ's heart. So if you see that as a scale of balance, then it's easier to be molded by him.
And as we talked about it a little while ago, the Lord isn't asking us not to be ourselves.
Mm-mm.
So Linda's self
mm-hmm.
is going to be used differently than myself
mm-hmm.
because she has different attributes and characteristics and strengths and weaknesses just as I do. The good example is in our, quote, business partnership. I stay out of her way because she does what she does so well, and I just try to support. And I, you know, because I have a different mindset, you know, I'm more an administrator in a sense than I am a service guy. But that doesn't mean I don't serve. It means I serve as an administrator.
Or you serve differently, like you said. It is, we all have our own strengths and weaknesses, and I know God knows those,
mm-hmm.
and he uses them to his, as he sees fit is the best way I can see. Also, I feel like the enemy knows our strengths and weaknesses, and that's where we find the wisdom from God, is that he can use us, because right in the middle of that balance, we can go either way. And it's just being aware. If nothing else comes from this program, is to be aware of the gifts you bring to the table and why you bring them, and to be aware of how God uses you to help others.
What if, like I said, you're just getting started and you don't know what your gifts are?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you do?
I feel like it's a time thing. If you start with what are your passions?
Bingo.
What do you like to do? And you start there, you know, and once you start there, what brings you joy? What, and even with helping others, what brings you joy if you are an encourager, whenever you give somebody a word of encouragement, it feeds your soul too. And not necessarily in an egotistical way, you just feel like I love to see the reaction of somebody when I say, hey, you got a nice dress on. I really like that dress. And they light up. And that brings you satisfaction. That's a beautiful thing. I feel like God is just blessing both of you. you know, with that.
I just came up with a perfect example, and it's right in the middle of our life right now. But, ladies and gentlemen, we have a new partner. We're not going to name her name. She's on the sideline, but we found her. And we were telling her, this is what we're trying to do. This is what we want to do. And she is a professional photographer, et cetera, et cetera. And, boy, did she have the perfect heart attitude. After I talked to her for a few minutes, I said, we just need a little help here and there. It won't be a lot, you know, but we want to develop our relationship with you as one of our resources, and hopefully we can bring benefit to you as well. And, you know, her response was, I want to do this for free. She knows where her talent and her compassion is, and she's using that as her service, not just her business, but as her service. That's the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we're not going to let her do it for free.
No,
because
no,
we
no.
want her to benefit. But, man, so maybe, I don't know, maybe you're a dog lover and your service is volunteering to dog sit or dog walk or whatever where it is, you know. Maybe you're an accountant and that's your talent. We'll give up a Saturday and go work at the community center and help people do their income tax. Start with where you are. You know, maybe you just are just the life of the party. Well, then, you know, volunteer in a youth group and be a chaperone.
Yeah, and most of the time the Lord blesses us too with some gift of you get to see somebody light up. But one of the examples I know in a nursing home that I go to, because we are in Nashville and it is so many talented musicians here, sometimes musicians come and dedicate their time to this nursing home for the residents. So it was this guitar player that was out of this world this week at the he was a talented singer and everything, and he had the residents up the dementia unit. They were dancing, they were having a great time. He had them singing, and he played songs in their era, maybe from the 60s, 50s. It was just wonderful. I later found out he had been a guitarist for Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that somebody like that would come to the nursing home and, I mean, not even play what their gift is.
That guy was there for any other reason.
But to serve it. And I wish you could have seen his face in reaction to the residents getting up out of their chairs.
He
was just smiling. It was such a great interaction both ways, but I would have never thought that he was or had been. I don't know when that was.
Listen, if he played for Led Zeppelin, he's famous.
Yes.
That's all there is
yes.
to it. I
don't know when that was, but one of the nursing assistants, the nurse told me, do you know that he played for Led Zeppelin? Are you serious?
But he
sounded that good.
So that's the perfect example.
Yeah.
And here's the beautiful benefit of when you find your place.
Mm-hmm.
You described it. You should have seen his face
mm-hmm.
when they stood up and moved. When you find your place of service, what really works for you, it brings joy to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, guys, here's for the other thing I always say to people and myself. The Lord was real clear. There are several things, I always say four, there may be others, that you can do without question as to whether it serves.
Mm-hmm.
Care for the needy.
Mm-hmm.
Care for the widows and orphans. Visit those in prison. The Lord listed those specifically.
He did.
You cannot go wrong in choosing to work in that area. Now, you may find that in that area, this is where you need to be. So, in other words, let's say you want to help with the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your thing may not be sitting in the classroom teaching them math.
Mm-mm.
Your thing may be driving the van that takes them to an appointment. But you can't go wrong with those.
Yeah, and it's whatever. And sometimes it's those people that really may not even think to say thank you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They just appreciate it, but they just can't think to say thank you or whatever. But you do it anyway out of a giving heart. That is the whole
and
thing.
And you really found your place. You don't even really need the pat on the back, frankly.
You don't.
You feel fulfilled. You feel like you did something good, whether they recognized it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And now that's true selflessness. I also want to stop and say, you know, as sort of a warning, because I do it and I assume others do, and that is there's two sides to ego. We always think of the ego as, you know, puffing out our chest, you know, look at me, here I am, I'm the world's greatest.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an ego side of you that says, oh, I'm a failure, I stink, you know, I'm awful, you know. So, guys, don't beat yourselves up.
That's good.
Leave that behind, that ego behind, too. Because that's the negative. I mean, that will eat you alive over time.
A lot of times you have to say, you know, when you have those thoughts, and we all have them, and I feel like you're right, that is a part of ego, because sometimes you do it to hear somebody say, no, you're not that, you're da-da-da-da-da, and they got to list all your good qualities and stuff. You need that feeding. There's a hole there. You know, just ask the Lord to fill your hole. You don't have to, you know, nothing else. Just ask the Lord to fill your
hole. Spiritual expression. I'm going to write that down. Lord, fill my hole.
Yeah.
But that's true. It
yeah.
is very true.
Fill me up, because there's something missing there that you need some help with. But, you know, sometimes I always tell people to say, is that really true after you say something? I'm a wreck. I'm no good. Is that really true? And most of the time, it's not true.
And it's not even true to you if you stop it really.
Right.
Think about it. Sometimes... Here's another thing, guys. Service can be, sometimes service is just encouragement. I'm glad you brought that up. Well, you can look at somebody and go, you don't realize how good you are. Let me give you a couple examples. You know, our ego wants attention on us, good or bad. Our ego is all about us. And so an ego can also be, oh, I'm just the world's worst, you know, oh, I can't believe I did that or said that or did this. And you can be consumed by that as easily as you can be consumed with the other side of ego that says I'm greater than everybody, you know, why isn't everybody recognizing me? You know, there's two sides to this ego thing, and they're both can be destructive.
Qualities. And then the part of the ego, too, that I feel like needs to be discussed in this day and time is the ability, that the need, not the ability, the need to put other people down to make you feel good. You know, you put people down. And at some point, we all, even when in a joking way, you put people down, it's very stinging and very, it makes you look bad, actually. When you find a joke to put other people down, you know, look how slow they move, da-da-da-da-da. But that is a part of ego, too. Or, you know, they do that, they do this. But you have to put other people down to make you feel good. And I feel like it's something we all have to watch. And I feel like in this day and time, that as people, spiritual people, I won't even say Christian or this, I'll say as spiritual people, that is something in this time that we all have. Do you have to put other people down to make you feel good?
Yeah, it's rampant today.
It is rampant today, and I feel like it's something that we need to check ourselves when we do that.
So that's very much ego.
It's very.
If you're doing it, well, actually, we should never be ugly, period. But here's one where the Lord just convicted me, so I'll share. You know, I'm at work. We're working with a vendor that continues to underperform. And I find myself kind of, well, I'll show them how smart I am. I'm going to point out how they messed up. I got to walk in there. Lord just said, hey, Dad, there's yours. Yeah, that's your ego because you want to know how smart you are. That you, you know, they can't pull the wool over your eyes. I got to work on that because that's not a right attitude.
It's not. And it's something I feel like we're all guilty at. Me too, at certain things. I'm Gary, leave one part of what I'm doing to leave another one. I want to leave in a good place, but sometimes you want to look at all the stuff that I did. Oh, she didn't do that or whatever. There's that tendency to do that. And I just, you know, have grace with some things, with people. Grace with people, people that are different than you. Give grace. You know, one of the things that really bothers me, and I see people that call themselves Christians, and I want to caution you, is that not having patience with people who don't speak your language. I saw something the other day that really hurt my heart, and I had to say something to the lady that did it. We were waiting in a line at Walmart, and the lady in front of us, it was obviously she didn't speak English, but the teller was trying to be as compassionate as she could be and explain. And so finally she did. And the lady behind me was like, they don't speak English. They just don't need, and she said it very loud, almost condescending to the woman in front of her. And I have this thing about being silent when people are just being rude and out of hand. So I turned around and I looked at her and I said, I hope that none of your foreparents had to come to this country and, you know, maybe didn't speak the language, but they needed time to learn. I hope that wasn't anybody in your family. And she just got real quiet. But I just feel like sometimes we may not like that they're here or whatever, whatever your feelings are about that, but have compassion with people because we all have, we are in America, and everybody has, somebody came from this country in some point of all of our families, and they were foreigners at some point in this land.
You know, here's this works for me.
Mm-hmm.
When you start talking about Christ, and work is the best situation, but it can be applied anywhere. Are you seeking the good of others first? Not, you know, number, are you, and the way to see if you're doing that is, are you helping them succeed? Even if it means they get the promotion. And the Lord has worked on me and worked on me, and believe me, it took a while, but I now love seeing my teammates grow and succeed. So that, in that sense, and I'm not here for pat, I know I got the right attitude. In that particular area, God has given me the grace to have the right attitude. Well, that should be the same wherever we are. If she was, not picking on her, you know, whatever, don't know her circumstances, don't know what her day was, you know, don't know how many people aggravated her. All I know is she wasn't compassionate toward that person. And I got to watch that too. You know, we all have our areas.
Well, and I mean, I've been to France, and I didn't speak their language, you know, and had to have a little bit more time understanding the conversion of money when I was at it. And thank God that the waiter there had an propensity to help somebody from the United States that did not understand the conversion of money. And I just feel like, you know, sometimes we don't know if they're just a visitor visiting a family member and just don't know. Sometimes I just feel like, let's just be compassionate. We, whatever you feel about people being here, be compassionate to the people that are here sometimes. I feel like, and if we are Christians, we're called to do that. Just have compassion.
So, is, you know what? I like, let's end on that, and let's, I'm going to make this statement, see if you agree.
Okay.
Compassion is service.
Mm.
It really is.
And that helps you have that.
Compassion is putting into action your passion. And your passion should be to love others. Be courteous, be kind, be considerate, be graceful, be merciful. You know, all those things. You know, start there, guys.
That's a good place.
Walk in the Spirit. There you go.
Just walk in the Spirit. That, you know, we went all the way around to come to that point. Walk in the Spirit.
Actually, I'm going to finish. We'll have prayer, but I'm going to finish with this statement because it is the one that straightens me out almost every time I get confused. And I'm trying to figure out what God has planned. And I'm trying to go, oh, how's tomorrow going to go? And you know me, I'm laying out a calendar of Tuesday I'm doing this. And Tuesday, you know, because I love my plans and my checklists. And, you know, and then it gets confused and I can't figure out. There's a real simple answer. It is so simple. I just love it. Lord, right this minute, what you want me to do. It solves every problem. I mean, I'm not saying everything goes away, but it works for me. That's walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
And I don't think you can walk in God's Spirit and not be a servant in some form. I think there are some anonymous, you know, or whatever. Okay. Will you close?
Okay. Well, Father God, we thank you that I feel like we had a different program today, but I feel like you worked us through to the point that you wanted us to be. And that's kind of where we want to be, a pliable heart. Let all of our programs be a program where maybe you grew us in that hour moment. And I feel like in this hour, you grew us, and we thank you for that. We ask that you touch lives today, Lord, that you do that every day anyway. But you open people's hearts, all of our hearts, with a compassionate, loving spirit of Christ. You pour in us what we're missing. We receive that now, Lord. We receive your touch. We receive your grace and your glory. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Goodbye, folks. Time's up.
Goodbye.
See you next Sunday, I hope. God willing, and the creek don't rise. Bye-bye.